Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Claire Tonti, and I think we need to talk. How are you going? What's the thing you're making? Are you making anything at all? Are you stuck? Are you kicking goals and a bit afraid you can't keep it up? Do you have no freaking clue what the hell you're doing, what to even eat for breakfast, and why life has so much dishwashing and form filling and laundry baskets and rubbish taking out time and general panic, plus remembering to get cars serviced and fill the appropriate amount of petrol / should you be putting in water and oil? I mean, who the hell freaking knows anything? Well, unfortunately, I'm not here to sort your life admin out. I have a daily panic of my own and a very stinky fridge cascading pantry to panic about. Why is it that I feel if only I had enough Tupperware containers with labels, I would magically be okay? Cue serious later discussion about priorities. Anyway, you can probably hear my husband man doing the dishes in the background. That's all that banging around. Yeah, we do have life mean over here in podcast land. Anyway, this is my podcast called Just Make the Thing. And today I'm here not to talk to you about all the boring shit you haven't cleaned out from behind the fridge, but about what I think helps make life better and what has actually helped me stick to making some actual stuff for the first time in a long time over this past year. Gardening. I know it sounds a bit bonkers, but hear me out, guys. Gardening has helped me so much. I've always loved the idea of gardening, but like most things in my life up until now, I've just killed a lot of plants and watched a lot of potted herbs and indoor cactuses become clumpy, dry messes and sadness and reminders that I shouldn't start things because I can't keep them going. Cue sad violins playing. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is this. Over the past few years, gardening has taught me so much about myself and making things and keeping them going that I wanted to share it all here now with you in a weirdly short, ranty podcast episode on gardening. And then I'm going to share with you another thing I've grown in my virtual podcast garden that I think you'll love. Anyway, okay, here's my theory. Microclimates. I know it sounds like a Better Homes and Gardens episode, but I reckon microclimates might just be the key to figuring out how to keep making something. Okay, hear me out. For gardens to work and grow and succeed, you need to understand your climate conditions, which direction the sun faces, how much sun, how much shade you've got, what's your soil like, does it need more nutrients or compost or nitrate or acid or self-care and a latte and a poached egg from a posh cafe? Maybe that's just me. Anyway, it means before you choose your plants, figure all of this stuff out and then get your soil good and ready. To me, as a human, this means I have to understand my own microclimate and figure out what's missing. What does my genetic makeup tend towards? What food, exercise, sun, books, and TV, music do I need to consume or do to make myself feel good and ready to grow whatever it is I need to grow / make the thing you want to make? I know this sounds kind of obvious, but I reckon it's so true. Get the soil right, and I think everything starts to fall into place. Work out what conditions you're in, what things you can change, maybe your nutrition, what you eat, how much you move your body or spend time outside, maybe what things you watch on Netflix or what music you listen to, and then figure out the things you can't change. Maybe for now it's your job or where you live or your location, or the commute that you have to get on to go to work, and then work out what you can actually physically do within all of those boundaries to get your stuff done. It's that age-old thing of planning first and really having a grand old think about your microclimate. Right, so That's all of my theory at the moment about how to get started. There's so much more that gardening has taught me as well. So that's my theory on microclimates. So I've got a couple of other things I've figured out that gardening has given me. It's sprouted patience, which I previously had none of. The understanding that to be good at something, you need to keep at it. Consistency over quality. Keep returning again and again, and little by little, change happens. Pull a weed here, chuck in a bit of water there. No mistake is final. You can just keep starting again every time. Death happens, but so does new growth every time. Composting is the breaking down of things until magically it's not rotting veggie scraps, but stuff that is good for your garden. And from that, better, bigger, new things frolic and grow large. I literally spread shit around, and weirdly, beautiful things get more beautifuler. I mean, if that's not a metaphor for life, I don't know what is. Gardens are different and fussy, and understanding, like what I said before, your microclimate, the place you are in, the sun you have, the soil you need, takes a long time. And that's okay too. In other words, the world is a friggin' delightful, rambling, raucous, ever-changing garden, and you, my friend, can and should get in there, get your hands dirty, and get stuck in. Bonus fact, gardens also just bring you out of yourself and into the world to breathe and notice things and treasure the sun and marvel at the things we humans can create with a bit of dirt, seeds, some water, and our energy. Right. With all that said, I promised you something from my virtual podcast garden that I've been growing. You may have heard me banging on about the millennial divide, which is a little idea that sprouted from me texting a friend, Ellen, and just suggesting that her and her sisters might want to do a podcast together. Really, I think these three are some of the funniest and cleverest and most insightful women I know, but they're also just really great fun. And listening to three sisters talk about the stuff they love, whether it's politics or pop culture, they go really highbrow and really lowbrow, is just one of my favorite parts of the week. And I want to really share it with you here. So I'm going to share a full episode, and I'd love you to go over and subscribe to them at The Millennial Divide. I'm there every week. Sometimes I guest on the show as well, but I just get to sit back after I planted this little seed and watch it flourish and grow. So here they are, Ellen, Dimity, and Amy, three sisters in my virtual podcast garden with their podcast, The Millennial Divide.
Hello and welcome to The Millennial Divide, a podcast about navigating the millennial decade. We are three sisters bookending the generation. I'm Amy. I'm almost at the age when I'm no longer saying my age.
Oh.
I don't know when I cross over, but I feel like I'm getting close.
Oh, there's such good documentation of your age for the last 11 weeks.
Yeah, though. I'll just go really quiet. I'm in my later 30s. I did stay mid-30s for a very long time. I've only just hit my later 30s at 37, I think. So I could even still be mid-30s, don't you think? Sure.
Do you think I'm mid-20s?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you hold on to that.
It's like the Jessica Simpson quote, you know, I'm almost my mid-20s, which is almost 30. And you're like, you're 23.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Who else have we got here?
Hi, I'm Ellen. I'm 33 and I'm not near 40. I'm closer to 30.
You having a crisis yet?
No. All I'm right. Not that scared about 40.
No, great. It's pretty far off. I wouldn't worry about it. I'm Dimity. I'm the youngest member at 27. Feeling comfortable in my age, actually. Feeling like 27 is suiting me.
Actually, it's a really nice segue, so let's jump right in. So today we've got heaps on, and we're going to bounce back on a few earlier opinions. So, you know, I've never said I'm not hypocritical, and today I will validate that because I've got a few differences of opinion as to previous weeks. I still love Famous in Love, so don't worry about that. That's still
Thank
a
goodness.
Recommendation.
I don't know what we'll talk about.
Yeah, but I will backflip on a couple of other things.
Is it Gwenny? Please not Gwenny.
Well, who knows?
Oh, God.
We'll get to that. So today we're going to talk about more royal visits, but a bit of a different skew this week. So stay with us. We'll get to it. Dim's got a question that quite nicely ties in to our question mark over age. We're going to talk current affairs and what should kids be wearing for their uniforms. Dim's got a recommendation and Gwenny makes another appearance on the Grand Old Podcast.
Welcome back.
She is one of our faves. We'll talk all things pop culture with Dim and mumpreneurs. Oh, Ellen's doing mumpreneurs.
You gave it to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Sorry, I was in one of my bossy moods and Dim had too many and Elle didn't have enough. So Elle's going to talk mumpreneurs. And if we have time, I'll have a rant at the end because I just feel like it's been a while and I'm kind of fired up about a couple of things. So let's kick off. Okay, so the royals have been in town. Did we know this?
What is a royal?
Oh, a royal. I know.
Which one?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. She's called Meghan. Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle.
So
if it's not Samantha Markle, I don't want to hear about it. Samantha's her sister. Go back to earlier episodes. She's fantastic.
So Meghan Markle, Duchess of Sussex, has been out here with her lovely Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, and they've done their royal tour and she's worn all the clothes and they've all sold out and she's held her baby bump and it's gorgeous.
Which I think is a bit controversial being that she's probably only about 3 months, 3.5 months, but each to their own. If she wants to hold it, hold it.
Hashtag no judgment / all the judgment.
I should start holding my food baby just to keep people guessing.
Yeah, you never know.
Is it almonds or is it a baby?
So they've done their thing and they've trotted off now to Fiji. And we spoke on earlier episodes about how I'm very deeply uncomfortable about this with the Zika.
I am too. I'm on board with that.
She's not wearing long sleeves. Let me tell you that much. I watched and she's not. Anyway, I had this moment and this is where I'm going to become hypocritical because I'm obsessed. I've watched everything. I've gone to Karen G's website to see her dress that sold out in 3 seconds. I've checked where they're going. I'm all over this. I was happy when she took a step back because it was too much. But they arrived in Fiji earlier this week and they got off their plane. And they actually, I think what happened was that they actually showed earlier footage of, I think, either the Queen or someone else doing the same thing. It was almost an exact same replication of the royals coming off. And I suddenly got hit with this really uncomfortable, oh, God, it's like the colonialists are in town, that it was like coming to visit the little colonies and, oh, aren't you sweet and keep doing your little thing and don't arc up. We're up here in the royal land and you little people down there in our colonies that we rule, just keep doing your little thing. And I was like, oh, that is just so patronising for the Fijians. And then I was like, oh, we've been trolled. The sparkly outfits, the beautiful shiny hair, the royal baby, all of it. Mm. I fell for it all. And they're just doing –
they're not
that
here
to
genuinely
us.
Just to see us? I'm shocked.
Oh.
They're here out of their own self-purpose to promote themselves and their ruling.
It is no better than 1880s with the colonization. It is awful.
I cannot believe this is why you need to continue to work full-time forever because you've had a few days off. Is this what you've been doing? Is this how you've been spending your time, famous in love and like literally
trolling
a deep dive?
Yeah, going into every royal image I can find. You should see my Insta feed. All I get served is images of royals.
I'm just shocked you've had so many thought processes. It's like number one, oh, I love it. I'm following everything. I've seen all the dresses. And then number two, like the time for reflection of, oh, they've gone to Fiji. This is really bad. Wait a sec. Like there's so many thoughts. I haven't given this a moment's thought. At one single moment. The most I've thought about it was when you told me that, oh, I want to talk about this thing on the podcast. And I was like, what? And then I tried to Google where your thought pattern had gone and was like, what the fuck? Where have you gone?
I did kind of think when I did hear about it on the podcast, I went, we have been doing a lot of royals,
Amy. Amy has an actual secret fetish for the royals. I think that's the most important
thing. It's gone
thing.
Now because I've realised I've been trolled.
Let you down.
But I did introduce you today to Elizabeth Holmes' Instagram. And if you are in any way interested in Meghan Markle's outfits and the royals in general, her so many thoughts will blow your mind. And it is the best Instagram stories I think I've seen for a while. She literally has so many thoughts about every part of their outfits.
Yes, but she goes too quickly over them because
you've got to hold it.
Oh, is that what you do?
I taught you that. Don't you pretend you knew that yourself.
Dimity taught me too.
Is that what you do with a story? You hold it.
You press it down with your thumb and then you can read it. It doesn't go. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, there were so many thoughts and I couldn't keep up.
So many thoughts. Yeah. So that might spark your interest again.
We're at different stages with this and I can't.
Oh, is this because it's the millennial divide?
Well, yeah, I can't quite work out why. I just think that I'm very confused about why you care.
Because I was going to say, you need a young royal. And I thought, there's stacks. There's like Eugenie. Which one got married the other day? Yeah, Eugenie. Yeah, Eugenie. She's your age.
Is it because we grew up with Harry and Wills?
I grew up with Harry and Wills.
No, but they were older. I had the biggest crush on Prince William. Yeah,
I had a crush on Prince Harry. If you think about the men that I've dated over my life, he's prime
that's
age.
True. That is true.
And think about my current partner. He looks like Prince Harry.
He does look like Prince Harry.
He does.
That is funny.
Yeah, so really, I should be the one caring the most. But
that's true. Maybe it is the stage. They've just got married, babies.
Yeah, similar life stage. I don't know. I actually genuinely don't know because I don't think I was that interested in Kate.
Okay. So maybe this is a very clear example of the millennial divide.
Well, possibly. But if anyone wants a light reprieve, go on to Instagram. Check out E Holmes.
E-Holmes. H-O-L-M-E-S. And it's brilliant.
She makes great analysis of all the outfits of the royals. And she herself cannot explain why she's suddenly addicted to the royals. In fact, that was the whole content of this Man Repeller article saying, yeah, I was not interested in the royals. And then all of a sudden I was. Yeah. And I don't know, Dim, all I can say is you're missing out.
I wish I loved anything as much as you guys love the royals.
Well, I don't anymore. I don't like them now that I've realised that they're trolling us.
Just you. It's just you. It's just singular vendetta.
Okay, so we're done with the royals.
Please.
So, Dim.
Yes.
You have a question.
I have a question. This is very millennial divide-y this week, isn't it? We're really pulling out the age differences because my question is, I have a few friends in my life. You
very
would be
cryptic.
Surprised to know. Well, a few friends over the years who have turned 30. And once they've turned 30, it seems to be okay, I guess. But the whole approach to 30 seems to be quite daunting for everybody. Particularly women. And I'm really interested in this and I want to hear your reflections on that approach to 30 now that you are both so far past 30.
Oh, shut up.
So I'm interested because I just don't give it thought, so maybe I should be, maybe it is, and I guess what I wanted to know is it a defining turning point in age? Does it make a difference to your outlook and to your where you're at in life? And is it a good age to reevaluate where you're heading and all of that? Or is it just another age?
I like 30. I think, it was good to kind of, exactly what you said, reevaluate where I am. And I think you have a lot of markers of by the time I'm 30, I would have done this. I remember the TED talk, which was 30 is not the new 20, and how a lot of people are wasting their 20s now because they're like, I live for so much longer and it's fine and I can just date around whoever I like and blah, blah. And the psychologist's analysis was, no, your 20s are formative in the years that you have to be getting stuff done. You have to be setting up your career and your relationships and that kind of thing. So I think it depends where you're at when you're 30 to do the general Ellen balanced approach that I normally
Please have an opinion on me, my girl.
I've got so many opinions on this one. Do not. I was just waiting for
I wasn't.
To get her.
I wasn't worried about it for me.
Uh-huh.
I liked it.
Because you were like, yep, I'm like trying for my babe.
I'd travelled, I'd lived away, I'd got a house, I have a wonderful husband. You know, like I was kind of on my trajectory, I think.
Yeah, so I remember feeling like 30 was a big milestone that I had to hit a number of targets. I remember that quite clearly, that that, you know, you wanted to sort of be settled down and I felt the ticking of, you know, fertility and I thought, well, you know, kids shouldn't be too far on the horizon and I wanted to have, you know, financial security and blah, 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 blah. And the sheer irony of that now is that I had all those things and then my life changed dramatically. I split up with the partner that I was with. I didn't end up having – I had a miscarriage just shortly after 30. My job changed significantly. Like my whole life blew up, whole life. Mm. And now I look back and I'm just like, what an idiot.
So naive.
30 is just a number and your life runs its course and you should pay no heed to any of those milestones because it will fall into place when it falls into place if that's the things that you want. And having those tick the boxes are not the demonstration of a successful life. If you're happy, that's important. If you're content with your career, if you enjoy where you're living and if you want kids at some point, well, then hopefully you can have those. But I think particularly for women, there's a huge pressure around the 30s in general because of bloody fertility. When they can figure out how to make women a bit fertile for a bit longer, the pressure will come off enormously. But, you know, I'm now 37 and pregnant and, you know, in a really happy new relationship, newish relationship, a few years now. It's not that new. But life can change really dramatically and I think if you get caught up in those big numbers, you're really shortchanging yourself on the experience of living those numbers.
Don't you think those big birthdays just give you pause for reflection though? Like I agree, totally agree about the checkbox and I think, you know, there is no right path. You can head exactly what you're saying. You can head down one path and go, oh, that's not working. But don't you think they do kind of give you a chance to look back on a decade and go, wow, look where I was, look where I am now.
I think they do if you're happy. But if you're not in a good place, I think they can be a trigger. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know.
And that's what I have anecdotally noticed is that, yeah, it can be quite a trigger for some people who might not be where they want to be.
Yeah, I just think we need to be comfortable with removing the expectations of those milestones because, I mean, everyone says this and it's only until the shit hits the fan and your life implodes that you kind of realise this is true. What people are showing on Instagram is the best filter, is the showreel of their life. It's not what's going on. And what happens inevitably is when bad stuff happens to you, everyone comes out of the woodwork to show their stories of all the shit that was going down in their lives. So
that you had no idea of.
Oh, you have no idea. They're still putting up the glossy Insta photos and the cracks are just underneath. So what I've really learned is that appearances can be very deceptive, that people who look like they've got their shit together often don't. And you just have to be true to yourself and take the pressure off and enjoy life because 30 is actually incredibly young. You got so – if I had have known at 30, oh, actually it would be another 7 years before I'd have a baby or there would be something, you know, I'd go on to do X, Y and Z, I probably just would have enjoyed it a bit more knowing that that was all to come and it was okay. But instead I was quite caught up in having to hit a lot of those – time frames and upon reflection it was just a huge waste of energy.
That's very encouraging. That's good. I like that.
Well, you'll have to replay this to me when I turn 40.
All that wisdom. So,
yes, says Amy in her late 30s, no longer owning her 37.
No, that's comforting. That's good. I like that approach to it. Take the pressure off. Be comfortable with where you're and like as much as it is a nice pause for reflection, it's not a ticking boxes meaning you've achieved what, you know, you need to achieve by that time.
Yeah.
It could be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Another 6 months, it could be another 10 years. You'll get there.
Or you might change your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, those milestones may not be so important in the next few years, or they might, what society tells you to achieve may not actually be what you want to achieve.
I think I want to achieve financial security, and I do think that that is...
Well, get your side hustle on.
Listen to last week's episode again. Got it.
Okay, so in a lighter topic / heavier, I don't know, we're talking about school uniforms, which is unusual for us. We don't often talk about school uniforms, not the kinky kind.
Ew.
Ew.
Amy,
why would you go?
Well, it's weird for adults to talk about school uniforms. Like Halloween's
you
coming
up. You both are having kids. Like that's a perfectly reasonable. Why did your mind go there?
Well, it's a long way off for school. I'm thinking about sexy right, Halloween mate. Costumes. With my pregnant belly. Okay, sorry,
concerning.
I digress. Thinking Britney Spears, a.k.a. 1999.
You do what you want to do, almost 40-year-old.
So this week...
Okay, take us away.
In current affairs. This popped up in my mind because, one, yes, I am in education, so I do read the education stories, but also it's a feminist topic, so that's the way I'm taking it. Lowther Hall, an Anglican grammar school, it's a private girls' school in Melbourne, have recently ditched their dresses and skirts for girls to wear shorts and pants, and this is a big deal because it's believed to be one of the first private schools to do this. So this is for kids in the primary or elementary, if you're in America, years. And they've completely, I didn't realise this when I first read it, they've completely gotten rid of the skirts and dresses and the girls can only wear shorts and pants. And their reasoning for this is to make the girls more active because they found that the uniform was a big impediment for them to run around and do gymnastics and at lunchtime and just feel a bit freer. And last year the Victorian government changed the state school uniform policy to force state schools to provide options for pants and shorts for girls. But it is often the Catholic and independent schools that have kind of been holding out in that traditional sense. And I did do a little bit of research on this, and a study from the US has found that more than 20% of adolescent girls and 12% of boys do no sport or recreational physical activity in a week. And also that they followed in Australia some children for a month, 2 weeks while they were wearing their formal school uniform and 2 weeks with their sports uniform. And it was only for the girls that their level of activity dropped when they were wearing their formal uniform. So the boys kept the same level of activity. Soon as the girls were put into their skirts and dresses, their level of activity dropped.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty amazing.
Is that the research? Because this has been led by a group called Girls Uniform Agenda, which describe themselves as an Australian-wide group comprising parents, academics, educators and health professionals. And they were really you can find them on their website, girlsuniformagenda.org, but they had some very convincing arguments, although I was already convinced, so I was like, yeah, I agree more, as to why girls should be able to have the choice of wearing shorts. But they kept on being like, because research shows that girls do more physical activity. Research, okay, it's research. And I was like, oh, simply, what is this research? And I could not find it. But actually, you just did, so.
I might have gone to their webpage where they said research. No.
Ellen.
I did it intentionally. I'm just thinking of it now.
Okay, well, what is the research?
Well, I'm not sure. The research. But anecdotally, I would say from being a teacher, you do see girls a lot more hesitant because, you know, particularly if they're in a co-ed school doing cartwheels and handstands and all of that when they're having to wear dresses, when they are in their sports uniform, they do feel a lot more confident. And I think also, I think part of the argument might have been, I was trying to think of why we have this kind of structure is, you know, maybe they thought, oh, well, skirts and dresses previously would have prepared children for the workplace where they'd have to wear skirts and dresses and all of that, or maybe, you know, that was the traditional girl dressing. And I just thought, well, that in this day and age, that's so ridiculous. Regardless of the physical activity, the fact that girls cannot wear shorts and pants if they would like to, when in every other facet of their life they can, that just seems kind of wrong to me, and it should be an option.
I just don't know why they don't wear the bloomers underneath their dresses like I had to in school.
Do you know once in high school. This has just come back to me. It was year seven. It was my – no, actually, must have been – no, it was year five. So I just changed from our local public school to our private school for year five, and I was in PE class, and I was showing off by doing a handstand in gym class, and we had skirts and bloomers underneath. And I wore bloomers that were – I guess maybe a bit small. Anyway, I did a handstand. I was so proud of myself. I felt that I had a wedgie. I did. But I was just so proud. I was like, I don't even care. Did everyone see me fucking nail that handstand? And then I think the teacher came over to me and she's like, so we actually have regulation bloomers for this school. So you've got to have, you know, more appropriate bloomers underneath your skirt. And I was like, oh, that means that everyone was looking at my wedgie.
Yeah. See, that's why you need to offer shorts and pants and bloomers don't work.
It's very embarrassing. And I really, after that, was like, ooh, don't do handstands.
Absolutely.
That's the research that's they're talking about. It's me. But do you know that our school that we went to, our private school, has introduced optional pants for girls? Mm.
I think quite a few of them have now, which is good. I don't know if they wear them because they seem to be those kind of
ugly. I actually saw a girl today walking down the street. She was wearing them.
I'm not a fan, I must say. Really? I like the girls in skirts. Call me old-fashioned.
You're being deliberately provocative, Amy Kirkwood.
Do you know, I just think uniforms in general could do with a bit of a stylish overhaul, and I think if you're going to put girls in pants, give them a nice leg, I mean, for goodness sake. But I do think it's part of a broader trend. A couple of workplaces I know of, I work in a very much more of a casual environment, so gone are the days of the formal corporate attire, but a number of corporate workplaces I know of are now imposing or implementing a dress for your day policy, which is quite different. So really it's if you're client-facing or if there's some reason that you need to be in more corporate attire, then wear corporate attire. But broadly turn up in smart casual otherwise. So I think the schools are just in line with what workplaces are doing. I don't think necessarily that they're being leaders in this, and I think it's a practical application. And I think it's good. I also think it could have been a bit of a PR stunt because it was only grade one and prep and grade one or something, wasn't it, for that school?
No, I think it was the whole primary school.
I don't know. Mm. Yeah, but I don't know. Of course it makes sense for girls to be able to be active, but I also think give the girls something nice to wear as well.
Oh, my.
Okay. I'm going to leave that there because I have a lot of thoughts about that.
She's just don't even engage with her, Ellen. She's just trying to.
I just want to move on to the next one, which is Gwenny.
Gwenny!
Okay, so Gwyneth Paltrow, I know we do talk about her a lot, but this is a good one.
Yeah.
Dim, talk us through this one.
So, first of all, you're welcome, everybody. I discovered that Gwyneth Paltrow has a podcast and it is the best. So it started in February this year. Gwyneth, it describes herself as Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop's Chief Content Officer, Elise Lonan, chat with leading thinkers, culture changers and industry disruptors from doctors to creatives, CEOs to spiritual healers. Do you notice the Gwenny voice I have? About shifting old paradigms and starting new conversations. Guests include Oprah, Chrissy Teigen, Sarah Jessica Parker. It is so good. But I did realise that I was listening to it and then my housemate came home and I was like, oh, my God, Layla, you wouldn't believe Gwyneth Paltrow, she has this podcast. It's based on Goop and she was like, what's a Goop? And I was like,
has Layla not been listening to our podcast?
I guess, well, she's not listening to this, so I can say whatever I want. it was based on, I said, you know, this is what Goop is, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, anyway, Goop is where she announced that she consciously uncoupled from Chris Martin. Hilarious, right? And Layla was like, what's a consciously uncoupling? And I was like, oh, my God, we're weird. Our obsession with Gwyneth is actually not the norm and people don't know all of this.
And kind of say not our, it's yours.
Me?
Both of you. Oh. I'm not that obsessed with Gwyneth.
I like her. Although I'm not, so this podcast was your recommendation this week and you particularly pointed us to the Chrissy Teigen episode.
Which I did like because I love Chrissy Teigen.
She's funny. Look, I wasn't enamoured.
And I wasn't either because I love that you pointed us there, but listening halfway through I'm like, this is kind of boring.
All that I got out of it was Gwenny sometimes likes fried food, which I was like, oh, Well, that's interesting.
She swears a lot.
Oh, yeah. She's just, it was a bit ho-hum. Oh.
Yeah, I agree. I kept listening because I thought you did sell me on the conscious uncoupling that she was going to talk about it. And I got all the way through the Chrissy Teigen one. And I was like, where's the conscious uncoupling?
Uh-huh.
So I listened to the next one.
Yes. And the one, the like celebration of like 10 years Google.
Yeah, where she spoke with her chief person.
Yeah. And chief content officer.
And there I got a bit more sold on the Gwenny train because I did hear her understand, you know, they were talking about how they go, it's fine to kind of question things and we're just putting things out there and people are very set in their ways. I thought, yeah, I can be very quick sometimes, go, oh, that's ridiculous, and not kind of take it in and go, well, I could do it or I could not and maybe I should consider it. And she also says about the conscious uncoupling that, yeah, that was a stupid term pretty much and it wasn't what our intention was. And she said, I think a lot of people got their back up because, and this is what I really liked about her, that she had this introspection, that she said she felt that a lot of people felt that by them saying, oh, we're trying to do it this way, they were telling every other divorced person, oh, you've done it the wrong way. And she said, I can understand that. And, you know, that wasn't our intention. We were just trying to find a way that suited us, but, you know, it's very difficult space. And so, yeah, I got a bit more on board, but the actual Chrissy Teigen, I thought, oh, Chrissy Teigen's so funny. And I just didn't get that.
Well, I got halfway through the podcast and I was like, nah, I'm going back to listening to A Star Is Born soundtrack for the fifth time in a row because that's what I want to talk about for my recommendation. And neither of you have seen it, but no. I'm just going to talk about how much I love it. So last night.
Are you taking over? Is this?
I'm going rogue because I just can't stop talking about it or thinking about it or humming the lyrics because A Star Is Born. Oh, my goodness. Okay,
just,
here's my recommendation for you guys.
Don't spoil anything because I hear there's a spoiler and I don't want to know.
It's the third remake, Dim, if there's been two previous spoilers.
Amy.
No, I'm not going to give you any spoilers. All I'm going to say is do yourself a favour and get your ass out to the cinema and go and see A Star Is Born. Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is sublime. You would not even know it's Lady Gaga. Bradley Cooper is just the self-destructive rock star who you want him to be. You laugh, you cry. It is, the music is so good. I honestly, I've had it on repeat all day and I just want to talk about that to everybody.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I'll strike a deal. You come to the podcast next week wearing Kylie Jenner's lip kit.
Oh, I would if it would turn up, okay? We could go early on my rant. Kylie Jenner needs to improve her customer service. Whoa. There, I've said it. We ordered how long ago? 3 weeks?
Weeks.
When you 3 weeks.
One of the times when you asked.
Whenever you asked, we ordered. Sorry, we're digressing. This is a recommendation that we have had on the potty for a long time. But Kylie Jenner's lip kit.
It's purely so that I can upload a photo to our Instagram account of me pouting using the Kylie
Well,
Jenner's
I tell
lip
you
kit.
What, Dim, when it finally arrives in we this great shawl.
Either recommend it.
Have you been tracking it?
Yes, I've even contacted them when they had the audacity to send me an email asking for my feedback on the product. And I said, I'd love to give you feedback. But not, I can't give you any feedback other than this is a shitty experience and you guys need to get your act together. I'm very unhappy about it. And not only that, okay, I'm going further. This rant's going to, I'm just going to combine my rant.
Keep going.
I roped in a friend from work to get a lip gloss as well. Hers hasn't arrived. She's paid me. I feel like I'm just misleading people.
It's like a pyramid scheme.
Kylie, listen, give us our lip kits, please.
Yep. Oh. I'm not impressed, Kylie Jenner lip kit.
Okay.
So.
We'll talk about this after. But
okay.
Okay.
All right, so I don't quite know what we did there, but anyway, moving right along.
There was three recommendations in one, I think is what happened.
Okay, so I think I've had my rant, so okay. I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to talk about how annoying uni kids are, but that's a given.
Yeah.
They talk in lectures. They're very
frustrating. Look, we all have been one in the last year.
Yeah,
so
it's just when you're a mature age student. They hate you and
again,
I hate them.
Again, we all have been in the last year.
Oh, true.
But I'm with other mature age students, so we're all just nerds together.
Oh, that is a much better place.
It's much better.
I just tell them, shh, stop talking.
Do you? You say
oh,
it.
Yeah. I tell them off now. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, okay.
Nah, they're shitty little kids. Anyway, I'm going to move on. So, mumpreneurs.
Yes.
Can I just say, I feel like it should be mumpreneurs. Mumpetroneurs. It's, anyway, for me it's missing a syllable. I just want to say that.
Mumpetroneurs.
Mumpetroneurs.
That makes no sense.
It just sounds better to me. Okay. It sounds more like a da 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 da.
Elle, you just say it however you want to say.
I'm going to leave it.
Okay.
Sorry. These are mums who are making money off their children. And you would have seen them on Instagram. There's quite a few around. And this was just in a recent article. And it was outlining some of the children who have way more followers than all of us combined. One of them is Taylan Biggs, who is 5 years old and has 150,000 Instagram followers.
Ooh, can we get her to tag us in something?
Yeah, let's. Maybe we should get her on the show. Ooh. Ask what she thinks about My Little Pony.
Yeah.
She's been walking shows for Fashion Week.
Yeah, Ellen, she's like walking for like Givenchy and stuff. It's like, oh, what do you think of My Little Pony? Yeah. We're going to ask her some serious questions if we get that 5 year old.
What do you think about Marc Jacobs' new line?
Yeah, exactly.
She's been walking shows for Fashion Week, posing. You know, she poses on all of her Instagram photos with the real, you know, hip out, hand on hip, the pout. I did a bit of, you know, deep diving and I went, oh, gosh, she's five. Another one is Alonzo Mateo, who is 10 and has 20,000 followers. And his photo shoots on his Instagram, shot by his mum, him with Ray-Bans and button-up shirts. And he's got his own fan page on Instagram. And then, of course, locally in Australia, we have Roxy Jasenko's daughter, Pixie, who has her own line of hair bows and 100,000 followers. And this article didn't mention it, but also I would throw in Beck Judd's kids, Chris Judd's wife, who has very, you know, she seems to be on everything, on TV shows and Instagram. And her kids don't have their own account, so it's a little bit different. But they are used to promote a lot of things. And it's... For me, I think having, you know, as a mum, I hate using that term, but being, one, a teacher, two, as a mum, seeing these children used in this way, it makes me very uncomfortable. But then as I was thinking about it, I did actually come up with my own question, which was, is this any different from child models or child actors or beauty pageants, which I've always felt a little bit icky about, but I thought, well... Is it any different?
I don't think it's different. In fact, I think they're working way less than those kids.
Yeah.
So they just have to stand there and put on pretty clothes. Sounds like our dream as kids.
Yeah, it's interesting because I read that article as well, and one thing I did like was that there was she referenced that there's this kind of middle class pretension about
commodifying your kids.
Yeah, and this, you know, it's quite popular now to be quite disdainful of people who do it, and there's a lot of commentary around how some celebrities get away with it. So Zoe Foster Blake was referenced as someone who is, in the eyes of the community, she's okay in her reference
because
to children.
She makes hers a little bit funny and less spruking of
products. Well, she doesn't put the kids up for product. But I kind of think, well, where do you draw the line if your kids are, when we've had these chats before, but I do think there is something a little bit elitist about this conversation, that if your kids want to go out and do things or you're willing to, you know, leverage their careers, well, okay, that's another revenue stream that they're looking at. I mean, it's been happening for all eternity with kids doing bits and pieces. I think it's within each of your comfort levels and there's definitely an exploitation, but at least with social media you control it.
Yeah.
It's not like you're sending kids out onto sets, as to your point, Dim, working long hours in unsupervised conditions.
Which I would have loved as a kid as well. I was all for working. Mum should have spruiked the hell out of me, earned some big bucks.
But can I say, you do control it to a point, but once it's on the internet, other than a catalogue shoot, you don't control that image then. It's out there, particularly if you're accepting followers of 150,000 followers for your five-year-old. So that's my concern with it, that image and your child's, you know, life is out there in far-reaching places.
Yeah, I do agree, but these children are the offspring of out there people. I mean, who's to say that these kids aren't, like, to your point, Dim, or equally going to want that fame
Absolutely,
and notoriety.
But
and
they might not know now. That's my thing. Yeah. They don't have a choice.
Yes, they do.
At five?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. No, I remember. I remember going up to Mum at six, and I still think about this and saying, "I want an agent." So I
remember
can
you
act.
Saying that. Yeah.
And where am I now? Definitely not a movie star. Mum should have pushed harder. Should have been a stage mum. Got me, you know, in front of those different talent agents. Now, I don't know. I think, do you know how much it costs to raise a child on average in Australia as of 2016?
A lot as of the last 2 years.
Do you
want to
know?
I did maths
again. Amy?
I think it's about 300,000 or something like that.
Well, yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Well, I'm about to have a kid, so I need to know these things.
300,000. So,
Well done.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I'm on the money.
Yeah, 300,000. So it's very expensive. And, yeah, they should start paying their way a little bit more. What do kids
get
that?
Get the bows out. Sell those little Roxy Jacenko bows.
I don't know. I'm all right with it.
Roxy Jacenko. Look, I've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about Markle.
The Zika. Yeah.
I hear your point. I also do feel a little bit uncomfortable about the whole, I feel like it is a little bit elitist in a way. I do.
What do you think? Like the criticism is elitist or the.
Yeah, I think it's a nice privilege with middle class thing to go. It's a bit like the article referenced in Australia, we have this term cashed up bogans. Mm. And it's a little bit like that, you know, oh, what are they doing? Or it's blatant displays of wealth and conspicuous consumption and it's very kind of middle class and, you know, snooty to kind of put your nose down and go, oh, what's that? And I just kind of think, let people do what they want within reason. I mean, I do get the exploitation thing, but it's fraught.
I don't know. My final comment on this would be we don't know – we haven't had a generation that has had this internet growing up, and we don't know where it's going or how kids are going to react to it. So I always come from a kid's point of view. If you were growing up with this, you know, being your life and you haven't had a choice in it, are they going to want it later on? We don't know yet. And so that's why I'm always hesitant to post too much because I don't know. I don't know what – you're right. We might have a whole generation, and we're currently producing them, of kids who are really wanting to be out there and wanting to show their photos, and they don't care if they've got a photo of them at five pouting in a fancy dress. Mm. But we don't know. So that's where my hesitation is, and that's why I won't be doing it.
Well, I might – hot house mine and start to bring the money.
Get that cash dollar bills, y'all. I'll help.
Like, do you remember Honey Boo Boo Child?
Yes.
I'm going to have a Honey Boo Boo.
You know what? I will help with your social media presence, Amy.
I'm going to make yours do it as well. Okay, so this has been the Millennial Divide. If you've liked what you've heard, subscribe in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also rate, review or leave us a comment. Leave us comments. We love to read them. Send us a question. We've had a couple. We've got another one next week, actually, which we'll reference. So thanks, Sal, for sending that one our way. We do like to check our Facebook group. So come and check us out at the Millennial Divide. So that's two L's and two N's for the Millennial Divide. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. Send us your little stories on Insta of when you listen to the podcast. We love to see them. And tell your friends, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.